بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. In the previous lesson, we looked at the explanation of Sheikh Ubayd al-Jabri, حفظه الله تعالى, with respect to the sixth and final principle from the six principles of Sheikh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, رحمه الله تعالى. And today we're going to look at the explanation of Sheikh Zayd bin Muhammad bin Hadi al-Madkhali, hafidhahu ta'ala. So we'll start by reading the text of the principle. Sheikh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, he said, Al-Aslu Sadis, the sixth principle, Raddu Shubhati Allati Wada'aha Shaytan Fi Tarki Al-Qur'an Wa Sunnah Wa Tiba'i Al-Ara'i Wal-Ahwa'i Al-Mutafarriqa Al-Mukhtalifa. So the sixth principle is refuting the doubt which Shaitan has placed for abandonment of the Qur'an and the Sunnah, and instead following the opinions and the desires, the varying desires and the separating desires. وَهِيَ أَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ وَالسُنَّةَ لَا يَعْرِفُهُمَا إِلَّا الْمُجْتَهِدُ الْمُطْلَقُ. This is that the Qur'an and the Sunnah cannot be understood except by the mujtahid mutlaq. Wal mujtahidu huwa al mawsufu bi kadha wa kadha awsafan la'allaha la tujadu tamatan fi Abi Bakr wa Umar. And then they describe the mujtahid mutlaq as being one who has certain descriptions. He has such and such description, and they describe him with such descriptions that would not even be found completely and perfectly in Abu Bakr and Umar. فإن لم يكن الإنسان كذلك فليعرض عنهما فرضا حتما لا شك فيه ولا إشكال. And so if a person does not have these qualities, he's not like this, then let him turn away from them both, from the Quran and from the Sunnah, with a turning that is obligatory and firm and resolute, in which there is no doubt or difficulty. وَمَنْ طَلَبَ الْهُدَى مِنْهُمَا فَهُوَ إِمَّا زِنْدِيقٌ وَإِمَّا مَجْنُونٌ لِأَجْلِ صُعُوبَةِ فَهْمِهِمَا. And anyone who sought guidance from them both, he's either a zindiq, a heretic, or someone who is mad because of the difficulty in understanding them both. فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ. How sublime and free is Allah of imperfections. And by his praise, كَمْ بَيَّنَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ شَرْعًا وَقَدَرًا خَلْقًا وَأَمْرًا فِي رَدِّ هَذِهِ الشُّبْحَةِ الْمَلْعُونَةِ مِنْ وُجُوهٍ شَتَّى بَلَغَتْ إِلَى حَدِّ الضُّرُورِيَاتِ الْعَامَةِ وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. He says, how frequently and how much has Allah explained, both in terms of the legislation, in terms of the Sharia, the texts, and in terms of Qadr, and likewise in terms of khalq, in terms of what he has created, and likewise in terms of his command, through all these routes, how much has Allah explained in refutation of this cursed doubt from so many different angles and diverse angles, which have reached the level of the general necessities. However, most of mankind do not know. And then he brings the passage from Surah Yasin, لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. The word has been proven true against most of them, so they do not believe. إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا فِي أَعْنَاقِهِمْ أَغْلَالًا فَهِيَ إِلَى الْأَذْقَانِ فَهُمْ مُقَمَهُونَ. We have put collars round their necks, and so their faces are turned upwards. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. We've put in front of them a barrier, and behind them a barrier, and we have enveloped them so that they cannot see. وَسَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Same it is to them whether you warn them or you do not warn them, they will not believe. إِنَّمَا تُنذِرُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ الذِّكْرَ وَخَشِيَ الرَّحْمَنَ بِالْغَيْبِ فَبَشِّرْهُ بِمَغْفِرَةٍ وَأَجْرٍ كَرِيمٍ. Indeed, you can only warn the one who follows the remembrance, who fears Ar-Rahman in the unseen, and give glad tidings to such a one of forgiveness and a noble reward. So with that text, Sheikh Zayd Al-Madkhali Hafidhahu Allah Ta'ala, he begins by saying and asking the question, what is this doubt? What is this doubt that these people who misguide others and from whom other people have inherited the same doubt, what is this doubt? The Shaykh says this doubt is their statement that the texts of the Quran and the Sunnah cannot be known except by the mujtahid mutlaq, the absolutely qualified jurist. This is what they say to the people. They say to the people, you have not reached the level of making ijtihad. It is not possible, therefore, for you to know the texts of the Quran and the Sunnah, because the texts of the Quran and the Sunnah can only be known by the mujtahid mutlaq, the absolutely qualified jurist who is able to independently make ijtihad. This is what they say to the people. Then they start describing this mujtahid mutlaq with certain attributes. As Shaykh al-Islam says, قَدْ لَا تَتَوَفَّرْ فِي أَبِي بَكَرْ وَعُمَرْ. These conditions and these descriptions are such that they would not even be found in the likes of Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, and yet they are the best and most superior of this nation after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore this doubt is a futile doubt, it is a shubha batila, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the Quran for the Ummah, for the whole of the Ummah. He has directed them and ordered them to reflect upon this Quran. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he said, فَذَكِّرْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مَنْ يَخَافُ وَعِيدٍ. Remind and admonish with the Quran whoever is going to fear the threat. This is a command to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to convey this, to remind this ummah, to admonish this ummah with the Quran, so that the person who fears the threat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he takes heed, that he benefits from this reminder. So how can the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how can he remind them with something, how can he admonish them with something that they do not understand? This cannot be the case. This is something the Shaykh says is mustahil, it is impossible. And Allah Azza wa Jal also says regarding his book, لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, that they may reflect and ponder over its verses, and that the people of intelligence, that they may take admonition, that they may be reminded and be admonished. Meaning all of the people who possess something of intelligence, that they may reflect and take admonition. And likewise Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. We have indeed made the Qur'an easy to remember, so is there one who will make remembrance or take an admonition? So this shows that the Qur'an has been made for admonition, for benefit, for reminder. And this is what Allah is saying in the Quran. Is the one who will take benefit? Is the one who will take an admonition? Is the one who will be reminded? And in reality, when we look in light of these verses, we understand that even the lowest level of people who have the lowest level of knowledge and ability, when you recite certain verses of the Quran to them, then he will understand them just by merely listening to them. There is nothing else required. An example of that is the statement of Allah, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, وإلهكم إله واحد. Your Lord or your deity is a single deity. Your deity, your ilah, is a single deity. When this sentence is recited to people with some understanding, then they know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alone. He is alone their ilah, that He is the one who deserves to be worshipped, and He is the one who deserves, whose commands deserve to be fulfilled, and whose prohibitions deserve to be avoided, and whose messengers deserve to be obeyed. All of this is very apparent and clear, that He has a single, one Lord, one deity, when he hears this verse. All of this becomes very apparent to a person. And likewise, when a person hears the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, حَافِذُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. Safeguard the prayers and the middle prayer, the Salatul Wusta, the middle prayer, and stand earnestly in front of Allah, meaning in worship. So when a person, when he hears this ayah, when he hears this passage in the Quran, and he understands and he knows that Allah has commanded him to safeguard the Salah, to safeguard the Salah, and so that he can go and seek knowledge of its rulings, he can go and ask an alim, he can go and ask an alim of the various details and the various rulings that relate to the salah, how is he to perform this salah. So all of this is very apparent. The command itself is very clear and apparent. The command explains what he needs to do. And if the person is in need of additional knowledge as to the kayfiyah, the how, and some of the ahkam, the rulings, then he simply asks an alim. But the command itself is very apparent. And likewise, the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ وَيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded the ummah with all of these obligations, these fara'id, which are the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, establishing the prayer, giving the zakah, and holding fast to this deen, which is hanif, which is upright. So all of this is very apparent and clear. So when a person hears these ayat in the Quran, he doesn't need to have all of those conditions and requirements and great and lofty descriptions and such a high level of knowledge to be able to grasp and understand what is required from him. So all of this is apparent, and these are just a small sample of verses which are understood just merely by listening to them alone. Now, of course, having said all of this, the Shaykh mentions that without any doubt there are certain verses of the Quran and there are certain texts of the Sunnah in which the people require scholars. The scholars to explain the rulings, the ahkam, the halal, the haram from certain ayat, and likewise what they contain of admonitions, of encouragements and discouragements. No doubt there are many verses and many texts from the Sunnah that require elaboration from the scholars and for their meanings to be understood. However, the situation is not like what those people claim it to be, that the Quran and the Sunnah are impossible to understand. So in light of this clarification, it is obligatory upon every person that they should know and they should believe and understand that the source of every goodness and the foundation of the deen is to take from the Quran, is to take whatever comes from the Quran, the noble Quran, and from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that learning the book and the Sunnah is an easy affair in reality. It is not difficult. It is not like what those people try to portray to the general folk, that the Quran and the Sunnah is full of difficulties and hardships and it's impossible for you to understand. All of this is batil. Rather, the Quran and the Sunnah have been made easy to understand. And likewise, learning the book and the Sunnah, this is an easy affair, not a difficult affair. But it is only difficult in reality for the one who turns away from the book and the sunnah. He turns away from the book of his Lord and the sunnah, the authentic sunnah of his Prophet. And such a person who turns away in this manner, he has wronged himself, he is a zalim to his soul, and he is the one who is mentioned in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَانِ نُقَيِّدُ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. Whoever turns away from the remembrance of Ar-Rahman, we appoint for him a shaitan, a devil, which becomes a companion for him. And this person, meaning that this person has turned away from remembering Allah, Ar-Rahman, through the Kitab and the Sunnah. He turns away from the Kitab and the Sunnah, in which is the remembrance of Ar-Rahman, and learning how to worship him and remember him. So whoever turned away from the book and the sunnah in this manner, and he did not learn from the book and the sunnah, then a shaitan, then what is left for him except to receive wahi from the shaitan. If he's not taken from the wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he makes i'rad, he turns away, then no doubt he will be receiving wahi, revelation and inspiration from the shaitan, who will then guide him and direct him towards shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to misguidances, and to innovations, and to desires, and to separating and splitting. So then after this, Shaykhul Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, he describes something that he encountered from those people when he invited them to the Quran and the Sunnah, and when the various battles were taking place between the offspring of Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab and Shaykh al-Islam himself, and likewise the various rulers from Al Saud rahimahullah ta'ala alayhim, he explained something which happened, which is that these people, they began to distort and destroy the ideas and the good thoughts in the minds of the general people. There were amongst them those who claimed knowledge in the time of Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, and they were misguided people, and they would start to say to the people that if you desire to seek knowledge, if you desire to seek guidance from the Quran and the Sunnah, yet you are merely Bedouins. You are just Bedouins, you are just desert people, you are just common people, and you desire to seek guidance from the Quran and the Sunnah, and this is your state and condition, then this is a sign of misguidance. This is a sign of zandaqa. And zandaqa is a type of belief which involves hypocrisy. It is hypocrisy in belief. It is the worst of disobedience, and it is a sign of being mad. This is what they put into the minds of the people. And this is extreme misguidance. It is talbis, it is deceiving the people. Rather, the true and real zanadika, the true heretical people, they are opposed to the da'wah of the messengers, and anyone who calls with the da'wah of the messengers. The messengers, they only called by way of revelation, which Allah revealed upon them, and then the messengers conveyed this to the ummah exactly as they heard it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he commanded the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to announce his iman openly, and likewise to announce his iman in every book, and likewise in every messenger that was sent. Allah says in the Quran, commanding the messenger, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ كِتَابٍ. Say, I believe in whatever book Allah has sent. And his ummah follows the messenger in that. It is upon them to likewise say that we have believed in whatever Allah has sent of any book, and whatever he has sent of any messenger. قُولُوا, this is a command from Allah, قُولُوا, say, آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَالْأَسْبَاطَ وَمَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى وَعِيسَى وَمَا أُوتِيَ النَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. Say, all of you, we believe in Allah and whatever he revealed to us, and what was revealed to Ibrahim, and Ismail and Ishaq and Ya'qub and the Asbat, meaning those other prophets that were sent, and whatever has been given to Musa and Isa, and whatever was given to the prophets from their Lord. We do not distinguish between any one of them, and we submit to him. This encapsulates the aqidah of the Muslimin, the belief of the Muslimin, the believers. Its source is the Book of Allah and the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So upon this, it is upon all of the Ummah, in every place, in every time, that they seek to understand and gain fiqh of the Qur'an, and that they learn the Sunnah to the best of their ability, and that they safeguard this seeking to understand, that they safeguard this learning and this understanding, because this is something which is obligatory upon them, so that they become from the awliya of Allah in truth, and from the followers of the Messenger of Allah in truth. So this is what is obligatory upon every single person. And there is in the Qur'an that which is sufficiently clear and plain and apparent for every person to understand what is required from him in the worship of his Lord. Allah has made all of that easy. And if he does not know, he can simply ask an alim. The route to clarification is also easy as well. And the Shaykh says that indeed, the reason and the cause of ignorance and misguidance and being far away from understanding the Book and the Sunnah is, he says, it is al-i'rad an majalis al-ilm wa majalis al-fiqh fi al-din wal-ibti'adi anil ulama. It is turning away from the sittings and gatherings of knowledge and the sittings of fiqh, where the fiqh, the understanding of the religion, is taught, and keeping distant and far away from the ulama, and instead being satisfied with what a person is upon of ignorance. And any person who worshipped Allah without knowledge, without understanding his worship, then his worship is not accepted. And this is because worship, ibadah, has a number of conditions, as the Shaykh says. He says, first of all, it has to be as-sawab. It has to be correct. Secondly, it has to be upon ikhlas. Has to be sincere. And thirdly, there has to be sihhatul mu'taqad. The underlying belief has to be sound, meaning belief in the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and belief and understanding of the kalima, and having conviction therein. This has to come first. And thereafter, there must be ikhlas, sincerity to Allah, that a person intends by his actions only the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He directs them only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he hopes only for the pleasure of Allah and his mercy, and he fears the anger and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what it means to be sincere. And as for as-sawab, for it to be correct, it means that the worship is upon how Allah intended and wanted it to be, which means upon the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So after this, the Shaykh says, let a person know that these usul that Shaykhul Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab has taken, he has taken them from the Kitab and the Sunnah. These are not usul he has invented himself. They are from the texts of the Quran and the Sunnah. And we have in fact proven this without a doubt when we have been through the explanations of these mashayikh, and they've mentioned all of the ayat and the ahadith and the athar. These are usul which are firmly established in the Quran and the Sunnah. All the Shaykh has done is to extract them from the Quran and to name them al-usul al-sitta, the six principles, because they are something which every single person, especially the person of the Sunnah, that he needs to be concerned with. He needs to understand them with a very good understanding. And once he has understood them, he needs to know the various rulings that are derived from these principles and a discussion of these principles, and the various directions and advice and the tawjihat, you know, the direction and guidance which he takes from them, and that he should act upon them and make iltizam, adhere to them, and remain in the shadows of these principles. With this, the Shaykh finishes and says, وَبِاللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ الثِّقَةَ وَعَلِيهِ التَّخُلَانَ, and with Allah alone is the handhold, and upon him the firm handhold, and upon him is the reliance. And with this we come to the end of the Shaykh's brief discussion of this principle, and inshallah ta'ala we will continue with the explanation of Shaykh Ahmad al-Najmi in our final lesson next week inshallah ta'ala. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.